and excited to follow Jesus in this, what really is a simple yet a very profound act of obedience. This is a command that has come right from our Heavenly Father, actually, as we pointed out before, and He is actually a good, good Father. Now, let me just talk to you briefly about those two things. Number one, that it is a command, and secondly, that it comes from a loving Heavenly Father. You know, being baptized is a command from God. It's actually not a suggestion. And as we read throughout the Scripture in the New Testament, we can see this so clearly. It's an act that God requires of every believer. In fact, among Jesus' last recorded words on earth were this: whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And that's from Mark chapter 16. Let me think about that for a moment. Jesus' very call to believe on Him includes a call to be baptized. You never read of an unbaptized Christian in the Bible. In fact, baptism immediately followed a person's salvation. They didn't see it as something to be delayed or to be put off for another time. It was a simple, yet a very profound act of first obedience. I just want to take a look at some of the conversions that are described in the book of Acts. In Acts 2:38, it says this: when the people respond to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructs them to do is to repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We further read that in verse 41, they gladly received his word and they were baptized. In Acts 8:26, it says, this is the account of Philip leading the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And as they finish their discussion, the eunuch, he enthusiastically asks him, what's hindering me from being baptized? To which Philip says, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And then they come to a body of water, and Philip baptizes him there immediately. In Acts 22:16, the very first thing the apostle Paul is told to do after his conversion was to be baptized. There's another of other instances that we could look at here as well in chapters 10, chapter 16, chapter 18, chapter 19. It goes on and on throughout the book of Acts. And in each of these cases, there's this sense of urgency that is attached to baptism. These people all responded to Jesus in a very simple faith. However, they didn't see their faith as complete until they had obeyed God and they had been baptized. Now keep in mind that we are also told in James 2:17 that faith without works is dead, and a living faith that produces an obedient heart. And that is the character that we see God forming within us, that we desire and we see the joy in what it means to walk in obedience. And water baptism is to be that first act. See, baptism is a very special way of our Father communicating His love to us. When we receive God's saving grace, it's no accident that He calls us to identify with Him, in that it makes it very real to us. Baptism is a very powerful reminder of God's wonderful grace. The person we were before is now dead forever, and we are raised with Jesus as a totally new creation, as we are told in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ultimately, it all goes back to Jesus' statement in John 14:15, where He says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. A very simple and profound act. Now today we've witnessed five people follow Jesus in obedience, and what a wonderful testimony it was. And if you've trusted in Christ with your life, if you have asked Him for the forgiveness that only He offers, then why not take that step of obedience and be baptized as a profession of your faith? And with all this talk about being obedient, it brings us to our second point, is that who are we being obedient to? What kind of God do we serve, and what kind of God do we seek to obey? Well, we're told throughout the Bible that God is like a father to us. He is a father to the fatherless and a father to all who would come to Him. We are being obedient to a good father, as Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11 puts it. And I just want to read those few verses for us this morning. To put this into context, this is the Father who we are obedient to. Matthew 7, 7 to 11 says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will knock. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everybody who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him. You see, God only commands us to do those things which are ultimately good for us. Sometimes they're uncomfortable. Sometimes we struggle with them. We wonder, God, why are you asking us to do this? How do you think I can be obedient to this? Do you know what it's going to cost me? And we have all of these questions. But it's so important that we put it into that context that God never asks us to do something which isn't ultimately for our own good. And here's our tie-in to Father's Day. And you'll read about this in the first few days of your dad's Devo that you're going to get at the end of the service today. Jesus puts these ridiculous situations before us in Matthew chapter 7. And he says, what kind of a father would do these things? And he seems to be given the illustration of a father who would give his child something that would harm them rather than satisfy him. So if your son or daughter asks for bread, who of course is going to give them a stone instead? I mean, you can't eat a stone. You're not going to, I mean, you could eat it, but you're not going to gain any nourishment for you. It's actually going to harm you. So what kind of a father would do that? If the children are asking for something which is good, would they be given something which is harmful? But obviously a good father is going to give his kids bread because that's what nourishes them. And what kind of a father would give his kid a snake if he asks for a fish? And I've got to admit that this one's a little bit harder for me to identify with because my kids would never ask me for a fish. A snake would probably actually be more likely that they would ask for than a fish, actually. So, I mean, you could sort of understand why. I think the last fish I cooked them was like a nasty catfish I caught out of Sturgeon Creek. So they've never asked for fish since then. So it's a little bit more difficult for me to relate to this half of it. But you could understand if you were a kid growing up in Galilee, it was all about the fish. The fish was it. I mean, this was your main staple. This is what you wanted and desired. And so if you were growing up, this is what would satisfy you. This was what would give you the nourishment that you ultimately needed. And this is what a good father would give to his child. So if these ridiculous statements showing that if we who are earthly and sinful, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more so will our loving Heavenly Father do so? It says even more and more. He knows exactly what it is that we need. See, all good fathers desire to give to their kids the things that they truly need. That doesn't mean everything that kids ask for either. And I think it's so important as dads that we think through, is this what my kid really needs? Is this what's best for them? And I think that as fathers, we take responsibility for that in our homes. You see, God never does that with us. He always gives us exactly what we need. We don't always understand it, and we think, is this what I really need? And we can question it, and we struggle with it at times, but it's so important that we know this and that we see that this is the God that we serve, this is the God that we are being obedient to, one who only gives us what is ultimately the best and what is good for us. So when he asks us to follow in obedience, we can do so willingly, we can do so joyfully, knowing that we will be enriched as a result of that. And I think that that's a good thing, a very good thing. And so he tells us, as our lovingly Father, he says to ask, seek, and knock. Don't stop coming to me. Come to me, ask of me, seek and knock and see. See what it is that you will need and what I can provide for you. We're told to ask, and when we ask, it shows humility and a deep awareness of our need. We're recognizing that I can't satisfy all my own needs, so I'm going to ask my good and loving Heavenly Father, would you give me what I need? And so he calls us in humility to come to him and to ask. Never stop doing it. Continue to ask. He says to seek, and we will find. And that means that we are to pray and to take appropriate action in pursuing the will of God. When we seek God, we don't just do it passively, but we do it actively. Because there's those times when we come and we ask and we seek, there's something for us to do as well. So we pray and we also take that appropriate action that he is calling us to pursue him. And then he says to knock, which shows that we have perseverance. Keep on knocking. Come to me and knock and keep on knocking. We think of the parable of the persistent widow who continued to come before the judge, and would he not give a righteous answer to her when she continues to come to him? So persevere in the coming to me, Jesus says. Don't stop when you think you've had enough or when you think you have what you need, but keep coming to me time and time again. Keep on knocking. But deep down, we struggle with these things. We struggle with what it means to ask and to seek and to knock. Our actions, I think, often show this. As John Eldred points out in the beginning of that Dad Devo that I was talking about that you'll get today, we think that we're on our own to make life work. We're not watched over, is what we can often think about ourselves and our situation. We're not cared for. When a problem arises, we have to figure it out, or else we got to take the hit for it. And if anything good is going to come, it's because we've made it happen. We are the ones that have to arrange it. And so we take all matters into our own hands and into our own control, and we don't even consult with God. We don't come to Him. We don't ask, seek, and knock. We think, and the way in which we act often shows, it's up to me. If anything's going to happen, it's because I am going to make it happen. And that's not that attitude of humility that we are called to in our asking. We should look to God as our good Father. And when we see Him that way, we are much more likely to come to Him and to do these things, to ask and to seek and to knock. You'll be aware of that other situation in Matthew 18 where Jesus talks about the shepherd having the 100 sheep and one of them wanders off. I mean, that shepherd, it says, would leave those 99 sheep who are safe, and he would go after the one, and he would pursue that one. He cares about each one of us so deeply. He doesn't want any of us lost. He cares for us. He's kind and he's generous. He is always out for our best. This is the good Father that we find it a joy to obey. So when Jesus asks us these things that we've been reading about, to repent and to be baptized, this is something that we joyfully obey because we see that this is ultimately going to be for our good. So today we celebrate fathers, and this also causes us to look upwards to our perfect and loving Heavenly Father who knows just what we need. We can trust Him, we can faithfully place our lives in His hands, and trust that He knows what is best for us. This is the loving Heavenly Father that we obey. We don't do this in order to win His favor, but we do this to respond to His love for us. And when we see God this way, this obedience towards Him really does become a pleasure. Baptism is that first step of obedience. But following that, there's going to be many more joyful acts of obedience that we are going to be called into as His disciples. If you've already been baptized, then what is that next step of obedience that God is calling you to? Is there something that you sense He is calling on you, that He is working on your heart and He's speaking in that still small voice and asking you to respond and to be obedient in? By not responding to it, you're actually missing out on a great deal of joy. We don't want to miss any of that joy that God would have for us. God is our loving Heavenly Father, only calls us to do that which is ultimately good for us. So let's joyfully obey Him today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and we're going to close just by making that declaration as we sing that song together, Good, Good Father. And we want to offer this up to God as just as our praise and as our commitment to Him today, that this is the God who we are serving, and we recognize Him, that He is that good, good Father.
I'll get you to stand and join us.